Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week we're continuing our discussion of knowing the hope to which we're called. God has invited us to become His sons and daughters through faith in Christ, and that gives us a tremendous hope, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And in connection with that, we're focusing on the fact that many people are afraid now because of all the turmoil in our country and in the world, and the root of most of our fears is the fear of death. If the economy's bad, we can't buy food, we'll die. If foreign relations aren't handled properly, we'll be overwhelmed by terrorism and we'll die. So we've been working on dealing with the fear of death. We've been talking about what happens when we die. At physical death, our inward man and our outward man separate. We pass into an unseen realm called heaven, because we put faith in Christ. As wonderful as heaven is, that's a temporary condition. Being in heaven is a temporary condition. God did not make men to be separated from their physical bodies, living in an immaterial world. He made us with physical bodies to live in a material world. In connection with the return of Jesus Christ to this world, all who are in the present heaven will come back to earth to be reunited with their original body, raised from the dead and made alive, immortal and incorruptible. Immortal means beyond the touch of physical death. Incorruptible means beyond the touch of any kind of physical corruption. The Apostle Paul was given a lot of information about our resurrection bodies and most of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a description of, or is information about our resurrection body. There's so much we could say, but I've been hammering on this because there's a lot of misinformation about what happens when we die and what's ahead for us, and that makes us afraid in the face of death. For a Christian, there's no reason to fear death. I know many of us, the fear of death is what event is actually going to cause us to die, whether it be sickness or an accident or whatever. But one of the ways we get, well, this is a whole can of worms for another day. God will give us the grace to deal with whatever is ahead for us, but that's a whole can of worms for another day. But knowing that death is not the end is such a source of hope. We pass into heaven where we will live a wonderful life, until we return with Jesus to this earth to be reunited with our body, raised from the dead. That's what resurrection of the dead is, the reuniting of the inward man that we're separated by death. We'll be reunited with our physical body to live on this earth forever, this earth after it has been made new or renovated by the Lord in connection with His second coming. Now, we left off yesterday with the point that Paul referred to Jesus' resurrection as the first fruits of our resurrection, our own resurrection from the dead. Let me make two points about that. According to Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53, the graves of many Old Testament saints were opened following Jesus' resurrection. According to eyewitness accounts, which are found in the Anti-Nicene Library, over 12,000 resurrected believers were reported in Jerusalem in the 40 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. They're a foretaste of what's to come, people raised from the dead. Now, they return to heaven with Jesus, and they'll come back with Him when He comes. But let me read this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 through 24. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by Adam death entered this world, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, Even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to his Father, even when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus' resurrection is called first fruits. First fruits is actually a reference to one of seven feasts the Lord instructed Israel to celebrate every year. They were real events, but they also pictured what the Redeemer would do when he came. At the feast of first fruits, 5 pints of the first crop of the barley harvest was raised before the Lord. The purpose was to dedicate the whole harvest to God, with the promise that the rest of the harvest would come in. It pictured the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus actually rose from the dead on the feast of first fruits that year. His resurrection is the guarantee that the rest of the harvest will occur. His resurrection is the guarantee that all of us, our bodies, will be raised from the dead. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised first. When Christ comes back, all his people will be raised. After that, the end will come, when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having put down all enemies of every kind. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is just a temporary condition. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, none of this minimizes the pain or the loss we experience when we lose someone we love to death. I'm not saying when somebody dies we should go, oh boy, yippee, I've experienced the death of people I love. And it's painful, and the grief is genuine, the loss is real. But there's hope in the midst of grief. And here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul was addressing people who had lost loved ones. He didn't take away their pain, but he gave them hope in the midst of the pain. Let me start in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those who have died. Remember, death is called sleep, not because their soul sleep, but the body going into the ground is a temporary condition. The body will be awakened from the ground at resurrection of the dead. I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope in the midst of our sorrow, so we don't sorrow like other people. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's telling these people, because Jesus rose from the dead, your loved one, although their body is in the grave, they are with the Lord now, minus their body. And when he returns at his second coming, your loved one, my mother, my father, some of my good friends, will be with him. And their bodies will be raised from the grave, even before our bodies. And they will be reunited with their body, glorified, or made immortal and incorruptible. And then our own bodies will be changed and made immortal and incorruptible. Tons of stuff in that we don't have time to talk about right now. But that's the hope. What's the hope in the midst of their grief? Paul makes it clear then that their friends and loved ones are in heaven. And Paul, who visited heaven before he died, wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that to die is gain. And the hope for those of us who are left behind is that this painful loss is temporary. Now, we've got a lot more to say, but we're coming to the end of the broadcast, so let me give you several thoughts as we close. If you think this present life is the best and biggest part of your existence, you'll be fearful of the things that are coming on this earth. The years leading up to the return of Jesus to this earth is close. How close? I suspect it's several years away, but I don't know how many years. I wish it would be today, but I don't know. But at any rate, the Bible makes it clear these years are going to become increasingly challenging and fearsome things are going to increase on this earth. And if you don't know that the biggest and best part of your life is after this life, you'll be fearful. But if you understand that death is not the end, it's simply the closing of one chapter and the beginning of another, you'll be full of hope and expectation. The most important thing is not what happens to the body, but what happens to the inward man. If the inward man is born again through faith in Christ, he'll come from heaven to be reunited with his body through resurrection of the dead and live on earth again. Last week we looked at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to compromise their faith in God because they knew their life, that this life is not all there is. We've got more to say about them, but for right now, consider one New Testament comment about those four men. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 says, some women, speaking of Old Testament saints, some women received again their dead by a resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release offered on the terms of denying their faith. They refused to accept a release from death because it was offered on the terms that they had to deny their faith. They did that so they might be resurrected to a better life. When you know this life is not your only shot at life on earth, it changes your perspective. It helps you see that what happens in this life is not as big a deal as it seems in the moment. It takes away the fear of death and it gives you hope in the midst of hardships. Life is going to become more and more challenging as the end of this age draws near. It's clear from Scripture the way world circumstances are headed. The decline we're witnessing is going to continue. You know, in one sense, it doesn't matter who's in office, who holds political power. But God will get us through until he gets us out. This doesn't mean you can't vote or you shouldn't pray and be a good citizen. It means keep your perspective in line with God's word. The rightful king of earth is about to return, and that's a good thing, and he will make things right. Don't fight with people about non-moral temporal issues. The most important thing is not who gets elected, who holds political power. The most important thing is that people come to saving knowledge of Jesus so they can have a place in God's kingdom on this earth. Let me read. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, the Lord has promised to keep us in perfect peace if our mind is fixed on him. Instead of spending all your time and all your thoughts speculating about world conditions and what if our candidate wins and what if their candidate wins, don't spend all your time fretting over that. Focus on Jesus and what he's going to do when he returns. We have a lot more to talk about next week.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.